We've got a great guest today. His name is Ken Eldred. He is the previous CEO of InMac, a public company that he founded. He is the current CEO of Living Stones Foundation, author of the book The Integrated Life and on Kingdom Business, and also God is at Work. He's got a BA and an MBA from Stanford.
Nice.
And an honorary doctorate of law from Belhaven College. And he did an amazing, amazing job on Family Talk. Ken, thanks so much for joining us today. I really do appreciate it.
Ryan, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Ken, when you were here, you were talking about prioritizing life, and it really hit home with me on kind of your journey to the prioritization of your life. Can you start from the beginning? You know, talk about how, you know, work just can overwhelm people, and you start doing more and more of it, and things start falling by the wayside, and how that leads to the destruction of the family, and how then we can get into prioritizing of your time, and how that really does change your focus on what's important in life.
Absolutely. And particularly in these days, Ryan, where we're in an economic environment that demands all of our attention, it seems, in order just to get by. Mm-hmm. And that was the way it was when I actually started InMac back in some years ago. We we were going through a similar, very difficult time. And in the process, I was relatively new to my faith. And as I was thinking about it, I decided that I really wanted to have God be a part of everything that I was doing, not only my church life, but my business life. Hmm. Didn't fully understand it then, but I understand it much better now and talk about it specifically in the book, The Integrated Life. But in the process, as I was looking at this, I ran into a quote from the that was on the letterhead of the Presbyterian Life Insurance Company, and it said, 1 Timothy 5:8, you know, if you fail to take care of your family, you're worse than a heathen. And I thought, man, that sounds like a priority that God has put, and it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
I began to wonder if there were other priorities in the Scripture, and I came across the next verse, which was Matthew 6:33, indicating that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I looked at that verse for a second, and I looked at the verses before, because I wondered what all these things were. And what he was talking about were physical things as well as person's well-being, everything about their life. It was really kind of the culmination of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I thought, well, if those are the priorities, then how do I allocate this, these priorities? How do I set up my life and my work so that I recognize these priorities?
That's I'm really attracted to what you're saying, because I think, you know, Ryan and I were talking before the show, so much of how time management is viewed as time management is for your work hours.
Yeah.
That time management is all about from the time you get into the office to the time you leave the office, how are you going to constructively use that time, and that people don't really apply, for the most part, the principles of time management to the entirety of their lives. It's all about work life.
That's exactly right. And the reason why most people fail in prioritizing their time is because they don't know what they want it for.
Right.
Yeah, that oftentimes they say, you ask someone, why are you prioritizing your time? Why are you concerned about this? And the answer usually comes up because I need more time to do the job I'm doing.
Hmm.
And the short of that is, okay, you need more time to do what you're doing,
yeah,
and there's not enough time already.
Hmm.
And you're worn out from it. You know, how attractive is that? Yeah, so
but
the question
I think that's where people live all the time. I mean, you can't walk around any office in America and not be confronted with people that are just absolutely exhausted. It seems like that's the condition that most people find themselves in their workaday life.
Well, and add on top of that the view that I have a number of areas of responsibility. As a father, I'm responsible for my kids and also for my wife, and I have a responsibility there, and I have a responsibility to God, and I have a responsibility in my church, and I have a responsibility from a political point of view to think through all these things. And, you know, all of a sudden you have four or five areas of responsibility, and they tend to get overwhelming because you run from one thing to another with the view that each one of these has a whole different objective. And if I may just take, for example, business, most people think the clear objective of business is to maximize profit. and to improve the earnings per share and so forth, and the earnings of the business. And, of course, profit's important for every business, but that becomes the number one objective. And then you have in the spiritual life or in the church, we're told that we need to be working hard in our churches. And while that's an important thing that people do, they become what people see is very clearly different objectives. And if there are different objectives, I certainly have to put in different activities. This becomes areas of significant focus for me, mm-hmm. which draw me apart from my, pull me apart and demand all my time. This, by the way, is what I would call a disintegrated view of life, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and that's what causes burnout.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you talk about figuring out the priorities in your life where you sat down and said, what's supposed to be the most important thing in my life and how you organized your day around that and then what you told your bosses? Because it was a bold, bold move, and yet for you, it's made your personal life and your work life so much more successful.
Absolutely. When I discovered these principles of God's priorities, the first thing I did was I thought, God really is the God of the universe, and He is interested in every aspect of my life, and He's here. He wants me to succeed. I mean, He has a purpose for my life, and that was really important to understand. He had a purpose mm-hmm. for me, and it was going to be in business. And if that's the purpose, then he must have some priorities. So these priorities, the first thing I did is, if God is first, I need to think about what does it take to have, an ongoing improving relationship with God, knowledge about him, understanding who he is, building my awareness. So, and I good MBA, wrote down how many hours that might take a day. And I actually wrote down 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was a good number because I could spend time in prayer, I could spend time in study. And that was number one. And then I looked at the situation for my family and thought, my wife, we're a very young couple. We've got very young children. One was just a baby. And it was important to me that I spend time with them. And the decision was, if I succeed in this company, and my relationship with God isn't right, and my relationship with my wife has not improved, mm-hmm. and the relationship with my kids has not been developed, then I've really failed, no matter how mm-hmm. successful the company might be.
Yeah.
And on that basis, I put down a certain number of hours for the kids and for my wife. And I had a clear picture. So it was God, my wife, my children. And then I thought, I need a few hours of sleep. And I put down for me, I knew what I needed, so I put that down. And then I added all that up for the week and said, what's left? And what was left was about 40 hours a week to operate my business.
Wow.
And I thought, I don't know how to do that. I mean, I've never done that before. You're an MBA. The job is you work until everything is complete. You outshine everybody else. You get there at 4 o'clock in the morning. You leave after everybody else. And I said, I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. But the point you make is, how did my bosses look at it? Well, my bosses happened to be a board of directors who we were a startup. I mean, I didn't have any money either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We're this is the worst of all just situations. I mean, you have no time and no money. But I was determined to build this business based on God's principles and not mine. So I began to look for, I told my partners that I was going to be working 40 hours a week. And I mean, you should have seen the looks on their faces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they thought, he's the only full-time guy. He's put the most of the money in. And, how can we argue with him? Because it's insane. He's probably going to fail. And as I went to the venture community, and out here, if anybody, full-time work in the venture world in Silicon Valley is 70 to 80 hours a week.
That's right.
And I was looking for funding, and I told them, I said, look, you need to know something about me. First of all, I'm a Christian. And they said, oh, that's okay. We've been bothers. But what that means is that my time available to work is limited. And they said, what does that mean? And so I explained to them why I could only work roughly 40 hours a week. And all of a sudden, their interest in our business turned to zero.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I was wondering, how in the world am I ever going to make this business happen with that kind of thing? And I remember turning to God as I was sitting in my office contemplating these things, saying, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but you're going to have to take over when I'm gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, my first reaction was, that's blasphemous.
Yeah.
Now, how can you ask God to run a business? I mean, you know, it's a profit thing. It's not a God thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And yet, that's the crux of it. Mm-hmm. Too many people don't understand that God is the God of business as well.
Can you talk a little bit about how cutting your work week down and saying you're only going to work X hours, X number of hours a week actually made you more productive in your time management, because you started viewing that as, I've got to work, you know, and talking about how most people, when they're actually working, maybe aren't really working whatever it is, the 40 hours a week, that there's a lot of wasting going on. But when you started looking at your time as, I really am going to put this much time in, you became more productive.
Yeah.
That's right. First of all, I'd like to say that this is not the program for type B or type C people. This is type A's I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they tend to be just hard charging, working all the time, very committed to what they do. You know, and their issue is not spending enough time. Their issue is spending way too much time. And so when you get to 40 hours a week, I started thinking, well, if it's going to be 40 hours a week, how can I make this happen? And I began to say, well, number one, what am I good at? And the first question was, you know, trying to understand yourself. The scripture says, know thyself. And indeed, it's talking about, do you know what God's given you, what gifts you've got? And I began to say, well, you know, I'm really good at this, I'm good at that. And I said, fine. Everything else, I'm going to give to somebody else to do. I invited my my two employees in to the office, and I said to one of them, you're going to do this half of the business, and to the other one, you're going to do that half of the business. And they looked at each other, they looked at me, and they thought about it for a few seconds. They said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I have to write the next catalog, because we're a catalog company, and if we don't have a new catalog, yeah, we're not going to be in business. Now these two people were, I mean, neither one was a manager or skilled in managing the areas that I gave them responsibility for. But boy, did they grow. And they rose to the challenge. People are so way underutilized. And we tend to fail to do, to give them that opportunity. And by putting on people these responsibilities and checking in with them on a regular basis, we actually cause them to grow and get excited about the work they do. And the next thing I did was I turned to look at what were the things I'm actually doing. And while I was spending 40 hours at work, I realized that there were things that I was doing that really did not progress the business. And I just put them, there are two ways. I either threw them out and didn't do them, I gave them to somebody else, or I put them aside and would wait and see what would happen. Because spending a lot of time, we end up spending a lot of time on things that are not as relevant, and by the time we're done, we've wasted the very valuable time. I found that spending time on the most difficult problems first off in the day, rather than sort of sneaking up on them, which is what a lot of people do, because, boy, this is hard, this is difficult, I don't know how to deal with this, you know, tackle that first. You know, towards the end of the day when you're tired and you're kind of worn out, then take those problems that are a little bit easier to do and read the mail if that's something that you absolutely have to do.
Well, you started cutting down on email and just saying, I'm only going to spend X number of minutes on email, that I'm wasting so much time answering things that don't need to be answered, that I'm going to stop doing that. That if I'm getting, you know, these little things where it's a, you know, a two-sentence reply, it doesn't need to happen. If it's important, it's important. If it's not, let's move on.
Exercise the delete button.
Yes.
You know, absolutely critical. You know, and finally, it's so important to understand an individual's purpose.
Yeah.
You know, what is God calling somebody to do? And they've got to have a plan. You know, what is God's life plan for you? Most people succeed in going through life without having a plan. I learned this lesson when I was at school at Stanford. You know, I never bothered to check in with a counselor about my course schedule. And somehow I got through the system, and I'm about to graduate, and they came to me, and they said, well, you can't graduate without the counselor's signature. I said, well, I don't have a counselor. And the people were absolutely appalled. I mean, they turned white and said, well, you have to have a counselor. You can't graduate without it. How'd you get through your courses? Well, I mean, it was a mess, and it was a serious problem. And I realized that what the role of that counselor was to have a plan, mm-hmm. you know, to graduate, to get through the program. You know, and what we fail to do is turn to our counselor, the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and say, Lord, what is your plan for my life? You know, what am I supposed to accomplish before I graduate from here? And people fail to do that. And the reason they fail, I think, is because when I decided, I learned that this is something I needed to do, decided that a plan has to be simple. It can't be too complicated. It shouldn't be more than 3 points. Because you can't remember more than 3 points.
That's it. Ken, we're going to take a commercial break real quick. I want to get back to the plan and the simple plan because it's important that people understand this. And for our listeners, we've got a free chapter to download from your book, The Integrated Life. It's going to be at groundedradio.com right after the program. An amazing, amazing program on time management. We'll be back with Ken Eldred right after the commercial break. Stick around to Grounded Radio.
Don't worry, your sweet little head. Grounded will be right back.
Time and time again, America has called out to God, and God has answered. But in our time, America is turning away, and God is watching. We now face a crisis larger than an economic meltdown, more catastrophic than war. It's the question that threatens our very foundation. Will America turn its back on God? The answer is up to us. God is calling on us to pray. Log on to nationaldayofprayer.org.
Hey, everybody. Ryan Dobson here. I want to tell you about a new podcast that I'm loving. It's called Engage in Truth, and it's with good friend of the program, Michael Calhoun.
That's right.
Michael, who's on the program this month?
Well, we've got Glenn Packiam. He's a pastor, author, and musician. Mm-hmm. Has three different books, and we're kind of digging in week by week, and we're in the middle of Secondhand Jesus. It's about trading rumors of God for firsthand faith, so it's going to be good.
That's fantastic. I encourage everybody to listen to it, and you can find it at Engage in Truth. On the next Family Talk, Frank Peretti takes a look at moral relativism.
The Bible says that because they did not love the truth, God gave them over to a lie. And we are seeing people believing the most outlandish lies. Why? To preserve their own arrogance, their own godhood.
Find the truth next time on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.
Hit it again with Grounded and Ryan Dobson.
Hey, everybody, we're back. It's Grounded Radio. I'm Ryan Dobson in studio with Tobin Heim. And really, if you've not heard Frank Peretti, even if you have, the stuff they're doing on Family Talk at myfamilytalk.com with Frank Peretti is amazing. I was re-listening to it. It's like radio theater.
Yeah.
He is such an amazing, passionate speaker that you just can't stop listening.
Well, a lot of our listeners will have heard our show from back on March 1st.
That's right.
When we had Frank on here, and the guy is just really, really a gifted communicator. So I'd love to have people check that out on Family Talk.
MyFamilyTalk.com, definitely. Or you can go to groundedradio.com, click on the Family Talk link, and it'll be right there.
Of course.
We're talking with Ken Eldred. He is the CEO of Living Stones Foundation and the author of The Integrated Life, where at groundedradio.com, right after the program, we have a free chapter download from that book. And we've been talking about prioritizing our life, our walk with the Lord, with our kids, not just our time at work, Ken, but really our whole lives. And when we stopped, when we cut you off, you were talking about a plan. Can you jump back into that? Because it's I like that you simplify things, that it doesn't have to be so complicated and in-depth, that the best plans that work are simple.
Amen. And the problem with most people with a plan is that it's too scary to write it down because if this is a life plan, then I got to live with it forever.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you know, you don't have to live with it forever. If God gives you something else that should be on the plan, you erase the first point, put another point in there. But I took a piece of paper and I put it on my desk and I thought, what do I write? I was a little bit daunted by this, and most people are. And I sat there, and it sat for a couple of days, and finally, and I'd been praying about it, and I wrote down one point.
Hmm.
And then over the next couple of weeks, I wrote the next two points, and I was done.
Yeah.
And I felt like this is what God had in mind. And for the last, you know, for all these years, you know, it has been my guiding plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps me. And, you know, I talk about this in the book and the plan, and, you know, your plan will be different than mine. But when people call you and ask you for something, and you, inevitably they will, you have to be able to say, what is it that I do and what is it that I don't do?
Hmm.
You know, the fact that, that people are not operating on their plan given to them by God, the purpose for them, is why you're being called, because the person that was supposed to be doing this isn't fulfilling it. But that doesn't mean you have to change what you do and fulfill something like this. I think what happens for most of us that are serious about our faith is that we want to help so much that we run so fast. Satan pushes us, and all of a sudden we're worn out and exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you want to work for God? You want to be in the right place? That's terrific. Now I'm going to add more to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be really careful. As wonderful as some of these things are, as wonderful the needs might be, if they're not within our skill sets and they're not within our plan, what God has planned for us, I think we have to say no.
You know, Ken, I think one of the things that's interesting to me is I don't think anybody sets out to be overly busy, and that we start out kind of early in life and we've got one focus and that's school, and then maybe we add a job and then maybe we add sports and then maybe we add youth group and we add other activities. And before we know it, we've built a crazy life, a crazy pace.
And you feel like you can't get out of it. You can't just drop something.
That's exactly right.
In reality, you can. You can drop things. You can just say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to. Laura and I have talked about that because our life here at work is crazy. We go 1,000 miles an hour all day long. I'm doing 10 radio programs a week. You know, we've got teams of people that are around us going crazy. And when I get home, I want to be able to give back to my family. And so there are times where I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to go sign up for this. I'm not going to help out. Lauren and I got asked to lead a class, and I just said, you know what? I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to. I think it's a good program. I think it's a great ministry. I hope somebody good steps in and teaches that class, and I will pray for them. But with our schedule and what we're going on, it would take too much away from our family to add one more thing.
Yeah, one way to think about this, Ryan and Tobin, is levels of indispensability. You know, what is indispensable? You know, relationship with God is indispensable, without a doubt. Secondly, relationship with your spouse and with your children are indispensable. When it gets to work, there are a lot of people who can do what you do. And when it gets to church requirements, there are a lot of people who can do what you do and perhaps do it better. You know, a little bit of ego gets involved here. We think, well, gee, I'm the only one that can really do this. And that's where we get in trouble. You know, do we have a good example of being able to walk away from things that people have asked us to do in Jesus? And the answer is absolutely.
Yeah.
He was totally indispensable in being able to provide food for the people who were out, you know, there were no 7-Elevens around, so they couldn't stop in for a Slurpee and a hot dog. and so he fed the people, and they turned around and looked at him and said, where are you going? He says, I'm leaving. I said, well, you can't leave us now. We need you. He said, oh, yes, I can, because there's something more important. And we need to be able to walk out the door. You know, our problem is we're too afraid oftentimes to say no to people because we don't want to disappoint them and because we think we can actually be the ones who could do this.
You know, Ken, one of the things that's curious to me is we have a lot of moms that listen to the show, and the person that they would have to say no to in order to get their schedule under control is actually their kids, because there's so many activities, from dance lessons to sports to theater to school programs. What would you say to a mom who's primary audience, the person she's got to say no to in order to maintain some sanity, is her children?
That's a really great point. And today the environment is such that it is all of these things and all of this stuff, and kids are chauffeured from place to place, and it's mom's taxi. you know, I've been through all that. Yeah. And what we decided was we would pick one or two things that kids really liked and could be helpful to them in the long term in terms of developing their skill sets that God had given to them.
Hmm.
And beyond that, we were going to have home time, we were going to have quiet time, we were going to have time where kids could play by themselves and in their rooms.
Yeah.
You know, or in the, and, you know, not to try to get into this racket because, the kids need the time. They need time away from all these commitments and activities.
You know, we literally have friends that, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, part of what moms do and dads too is, you know, well, hey, my kid, you know, is the honor roll student at such place. And my kid is the best in the music group, and he's the best on the soccer field, and on and on and on. And we're looking for these honors because they're important to us from an ego point of view. Mm. We need to stop and sort of sort out what's ego and what's really good for the child.
But, you know, I think a lot of families that go down that path end up being miserable. I mean, we've got some good friends that, you know, their seventh grade daughter typically gets to bed around midnight because of all the commitments that she's got and then homework on top of that. And she's getting up at 5:30 or 6 to get ready for school. And as much pride as they have in her, which is great and well-deserved, she also has a kind of a miserable life.
Yeah.
Because she's exhausted all the time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It's just not appropriate. I'm not a family expert. You know, I'm a father, and I'm proud of my kids, and I love them. And you know, it's important that they do well in the things that God has given them to
do. Yeah.
I wanted to go back though for a minute back to this sort of business environment because
sure.
I think there's a couple things that I need to help people understand. People could be listening to this program saying, yeah, well, he talked about 40-hour weeks and, you know, he's done those things. And, yeah, sure, and he built himself a nice three-man business. We didn't build a three-man business. We built a $400 million business. And, I'm not bragging about me. I'm just talking about God here. But I was chosen as the Entrepreneur of the Year.
Wow.
One of the most successful people in the Valley, and I think one of the few people ever to have built a business on 40 hours a week.
Yep.
You know, I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people that really are, you know, focused on accomplishing great things. I mean, God is in favor of accomplishing great things. He says he'll do the outrageous through us, but he has a way that he wants us to do it, and
yeah.
we think the way we think that we should do it is better.
Yeah.
When we choose God's way to do things, you know, the amazing thing is that he kicks in and we start to experience the power of God in our work.
Doing that on Grounded because you're talking about maximizing your time. And during the break, Tobin and I were talking about if you could see our show notes, our timer starts at 0000 and it ends at 59:59 when the program is over. And we have mapped out literally down to the seconds. We've got the first 15 seconds, the first 45, then the first 15 minutes. We go second by second, minute by minute, but we've maximized this 1 hour window that we're doing radio. And the more organized we get in our 1 hour, the better we do on radio. The more that we're giving people something that they can use and need, that we're taking people on a journey towards a destination. And today it's with time management, and overall it's with evangelism and worldview and putting your faith into action. But when you can maximize your time, I mean, Tobin and I talked about it. A year ago, I just talked for an hour. And it was kind of, you know, on my drive up to Castle Rock, I'd be trying to figure out who was going to come on and what we were going to talk about. And it was fun, and it was oftentimes entertaining. But we weren't using our time to the best of our ability. And that's what we're trying to do now, and it makes it so much better and so much more satisfying.
Amen. And it gives you, in that sense, it gives you the backbone of how to do things. It's the basic black on which you put the pearls.
Yeah.
And when you can do that, it's actually freeing. People think boundaries and limitations like that are not freeing, but they limit my freedom. Actually, they open your freedom up. And that's what's so important. You know, I could be at peace going home at 5 o'clock. I was home by 6 at the latest during my busiest years building this business. The kids always, you know, we had time for the kids. I had time for my wife. I had time to work, to pray and to be with God. You know, oftentimes my wife, Roberta, will be with me in these meetings. And one of the first questions after the show, conversation is, "What? Can I talk to your wife and ask her what time you got home? Did that really work?" You wonder how that's going to come out, but she said, "Absolutely, it absolutely worked that way." And in fact, you know, there were one afternoon a week during baseball season, I was the baseball coach. I left at 2 o'clock because I wanted to take the kids to batting practice, and because it was important to the physical growth and development of my boys.
Yeah.
You know, it meant something to them. So, you know, I'd figure out a way to make it up somewhere else.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that, and it does mean that life is more intense at work. But boy, once you understand what's really important, it's easy to throw out the stuff that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's true. And it's tangibly showing your family what's important in your life. You know, that you're going to leave work when it's time to leave work and you're going to be with your family. And I appreciate that. Ken, we are out of time, but I so appreciate you coming on. You know, I know it's a good program when someone said that they're actually taking notes during the broadcast because it's so applicable to their lives. And we had a number of people doing that. And thank you for letting us post online a free chapter of The Integrated Life. And I hope to have you back on the program again. And thank you for being one of the Family Talk board members, because it's just such a blessing to have you on the board.
Could I just add one point about this book?
Of course.
The subtitle of the book is Experience the Powerful Advantage of Integrating Your Faith and Work. You know, I think what the point is not to be stuck by things that are responsibilities to God, but be free yourself to build what God has created, what he wants to do in you. He wants to do the outrageous in your life. And it's important to learn how to live a way that God can do that outrageous in your life and create incredible results.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks
so
much, Ken. I appreciate it.
God
absolutely.
Bless.
We'll have you back. Thanks.